Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and get into it. So, you, my friend, was saved by the barn. Am I right?
You are 100% right. I was saved by the barn. I think that's the best way to put it. I've never heard it that way.
Because when we talked last time, I remember you telling me you didn't have anything to do with horses growing up. So what made you want to just...
The max experience I had with horses growing up was me begging my parents to buy me a horse, give me a baby sister or brother, and a $20,000 tree house. Those are the three things in life that stick out to me.
Oh, whoa. A $20,000 tree house? You just threw that out there in the end. Like, they make those?
It's insane. I'll send you a picture of this silly monstrosity of a tree house that we would see at Christmas Village every year. And I beg for it every single year.
That
I never got.
Cool, though. Like a fort.
They were awesome. They had, like, this Dr. Seuss mystical treehouse that, you know, they'd come in and set up. And, you know, I saw all these kids walking in and, you know, parents writing these huge checks for it. And I was like, yeah, one day it's going to be me. No, never got one. But that's okay.
But you got the horse, though.
Well, my parents ended up sending me to horse camp one summer. Loved it, had a great time, and that was basically the extent of it. I moved to Lexington for university and had a few friends with a few horses. They'd let me come out and, you know, piddle around, but, you know, all together, maybe, you know, 40 hours around horses growing up. And then, you know, it just kind of oddly came together. My husband, actually, his family raised Skipper W horses. They had broodmares and studs that they would churn out and they'd halter break them and sell them. So my husband grew up around them and his family grew up around these horses. But me, no. So when his uncle got a horse a few years ago, and then I was bit. And then, you know, they called and said, hey, we got you this horse. And I was like, oh, great. So I had this horse and I had no idea what to do with it. And then I would say my life took a very large turn and I was, on the other side of a sexual assault. I guess I was on the receiving side of a sexual assault. I don't want to say trauma or victim because that's still a traumatic experience.
Don't downplay it. It's a traumatic experience, period.
It was. You were exactly right. And I lost myself. My husband lost himself.
So the attacker, you worked with them, right?
Correct.
How did it make you feel? Like, did you ever feel like it was a sense of a sexual tension prior to something actual happening, or was it something that just comes? Not that either one is worse or less, but I mean, like, was it a constant bothersome environment for you, and then
no.
It just kind of spilled over, or did it come out of nowhere?
Out of absolute left field, the assailant was not in my circle of work where we worked.
He wasn't around this person all the time.
No, it was actually at a Christmas party where I worked, and it happened at the Christmas party.
I think never really talked to this guy. A little more traumatic, because when something is out of the blue like that, it's, again, I'm not downplaying either one or the other, but what I'm saying is when something is really out of the blue like that, that can be more like a bigger blow, like, you know what I mean?
You know, I think you're exactly right, and it added insult to injury that my husband was there when it occurred. My husband also worked at this place of business, and I had to stand in a parking lot and tell him what had just happened, and then, you know, say, you can't do anything because we can't lose our jobs. So it was just this very huge circle of emotion.
I can empathize with what you're saying, because your job, it's really sad that somebody has to sit here and say, okay, well, my job is more, because, I mean, I told you where I used to work, you know, working at the strip club and stuff, when your livelihood and your job is more important than your mental stability and the emotional turmoil that, like, happens, that's sad to have to do that. You know what I mean?
I think I went into complete protection mode. And I disregarded everything my husband was going through. So that put us in a really bad spot. And we didn't deal with anything for a very long time. And then it came about 6 months later. I was driving to work by myself because I'd gotten to the point emotionally and mentally where I didn't want to be around anyone. And I saw a river and I saw a tree, and I said to myself, I would rather either drive into that tree or that river than continue to go to work. And later that day, I said I needed something for myself, and that's how the barn saved me. August of 2023, and the assault happened in December of 2022.
Oh, so that's, I mean, so what, how did you end up in, at Emily's place? I mean, how'd you end up there?
You know, I picked up my phone like everybody else, and I started Googling, and Google really wasn't turning back any results. Like, I got a lot of English barns.
Yeah.
And, but, quite
but I mean, what made
away.
You go, do you think, well, so hold on, this is interesting to me, and I'm really glad you're wanting to talk to me about it, because, so in your brain, do you think that you wanted to go back to what you wanted in your childhood to kind of fix that innocence? Do you feel like that was tampered with after the assault? Like, do you feel like you were damaged and not even by your own accord? And so going back to something in your childhood where you were younger and not damaged, I guess.
A combination of that and wanting to be very good at something, not just, you know, putzing around in the backyard with a horse. And then it also accumulated into I as a high achiever.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Being female in my field, I've never failed. And I felt like a failure in my marriage, in my job, because I couldn't go to my job. So I needed to learn how to fail and continue to, in the sense, get back on that horse. So
I
knew
that.
Look
at it like that. That's an interesting perspective.
It just kind of hit me one day, and I just reached out, and I needed to learn how to fail. I needed to learn how to not be perfect at something, but continue to go and learn and do.
So you feel like the attack
stop.
Was a failure on your part?
Or that the way I handled it afterwards, and I felt like a failure because I couldn't put it in a box and get rid of it. Like, it was just this box, but I kept it in my brain, and it just
right.
was spilling over into every little bit of my life. I couldn't
well
pass it.
You're also I'm adding some depth to the conversation. Your career was mainly a male based career too, like where that, because I remember talking earlier, you were mainly around a lot of men, and so you were upper management, which even makes you more vulnerable to an attack. You know, here's a woman in a man based field of, you know, work or whatever. So that kind of adds a little bit to the, it's not like you were a girl in a girl environment and some random dude did it, you know. This is your career.
Correct.
That, you know, it makes a little difference, what I'm trying to say. I just wanted to add that in there because that makes
you are, yeah, exactly. 99% male dominated workforce where I'm at in automotive. It's a STEM field, and, you know, women are just starting to really emerge in STEM.
They don't like that. Men don't, and I'm
no.
not a man hater at all, but when you have a girl, and a man, I think that's their first go-to, actually, that's their first line of defense to protect themselves in their own field. Because, you know, if it's mainly men, they feel threatened by a woman that's coming in and doing their job, probably doing it better, more efficient, and things of that nature. So that's the first thing that you hear men do. They want to take it into a sexual...
They want to turn it into locker room talk immediately with you. They immediately want to see how uncomfortable they can make you, how far they can push
right.
you.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. You just said what I was trying to say. Sorry.
No, nope,
you said it better than me.
I get it.
They want to make you as uncomfortable as possible and see if you'll fold and like get rid of you. Like that's their defense to, and it's, you know, beyond disrespectful and disgusting, but.
Oh, but they enjoy it a lot of the time. There are a certain type of male who enjoy doing that. And that is what kind of has molded me previously. And I feel like through this journey of kind of breaking myself and growing back up, I get to say, you know what? I'm not going to let all of those things that have happened to me previously jade me for who I'm going to be going forward.
Right. Because,
and it's been fun.
Well, you know, that's what I was trying to say. You're a woman in a male-dominated field. It hurts. I think it hurts those types of women more when something like this happens because you're driven and you're ambitious. And it's like a cut to your intelligence and not necessarily, you know. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
No, yeah, I get it. It was... You look back on it and you can add your commentary on this. You look back and, you know, I turned 36 on Friday and I started this career path when I was 23 years old. And
oh, wow.
It has been constantly since I was 23 up until here recently. This constant battle of give and take and not pushing too many boundaries so that they continue to respect me, but continue to also listen to me, because a lot of the times they don't like to listen to you as a woman. So I had to turn my abilities to be a chameleon and to get where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And when the assault happened, I remember looking at my husband and going, I've broken enough glass ceilings. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to continue just to claw my way to where I want to be in my career. And I don't want to potentially have to step on the backs of others. That's not where I'm at in my career. I'm happy, or at least I thought I was. And then that happened and it broke everything into a million pieces. And we had to figure out where to go from there.
So, but are you still in the automotive industry, just at a different company now?
I am. I actually took a huge step back. I was a manager of a very large team with multiple quality engineers, quality techs, quality supervisors, quality group leads in a 24/7 hour, 365 day operation. And now I am back in my niche of quality engineer. I get to spend a lot more time with the customer instead of managing people. I get to focus on, I'm going to go fix something on the floor today and check a box and be productive and not worry about, oh, what's going to blow up tonight? I'm going to go ride my horse. I'm going to go, you know, clean pack. And I get to focus on things that I enjoy, and I work to pay for those things now. I don't live to work anymore.
Right. And the horses gives you that sense of accomplishment and checking goals off and being able to be ambitious and drive in something that's a safer environment.
Nailed it on the head. You got it.
Horses are very therapeutic. I don't care what anybody says. Take the whole show aspect out of it. There's tons of people that do it just for, you know, the mental and even physical, you know, therapy.
I had no idea of the show world, but let me be very, like, I was so ignorant going into this. The show world never even crossed my mind. My goal was just to be the very best that I could.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
And then, you know, I met this amazing little spitfire of an individual, and she was like, let's do this. And I said, okay, let's buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up, buttercup.
Exactly. And, you know, my husband, I think, sometimes gets a little jealous because I say, you know, Emily saved my life. Yes, Emily played a very big role in it, but I made that effort to go out and find it. But he couldn't save me. So we've kind of had to go through that. You know, he feels like a failure. He didn't save me. Emily saved me. But, you know, it was a joint effort. And finding a family or a home, a safe spot, and you just protect it with everything you have now.
I can understand his perspective, though. I can totally see that, because I would almost kind of feel that way if something like that happened to somebody I loved and care about, you know. Even though it's unrealistic, like, he couldn't, I mean, you know.
Is anybody realistic, or even, like, I don't think through all of it, neither he nor I were being realistic or clear with our expectations of each other through it, because, you know, I never for one minute until the healing began back in July looked at it and said, oh my goodness, my husband felt like an absolute failure to his wife, who is a protector and a provider, and that was completely taken away from him that night.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I can see the strain that it would calls on a marriage or any relationship if you let it. I could see the strain because, you know, they say, statistically speaking, they say that, like, when a girl is raped and she has a boyfriend or something of that nature or an assault or anything of that matter, a lot of them don't make it or they have a lot of problems after it because of these types of feelings and these types protect their woman. And, you know, he couldn't do that. And so I can empathize with him for sure.
Without a doubt. You know, he is by far the absolute rock and calm to the storm that is Kirsten. And he didn't know how to find that place again, but slowly but surely we're getting back there, and it's not easy. It's definitely trying, and some weeks are better than others, but, you know, he sacrifices so much for this little plot of heaven that we have, and he goes out and leaves every Monday to make sure that I can continue to chase this now huge, you know, awesome dream that has come from all of this.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, awesome. I mean, hell, that's what anybody can do, you know? That's awesome.
He's the man, and I'm very, very, very lucky to have him in my
Well,
life.
That, yeah, I mean, like, that speaks a lot of love of him for you to even feel the way that he felt about the whole situation. And then, I mean, put that aside on how it made you feel. Do you think the horses kind of like, do you think the horses are the sole thing that are healing you right or healing you because of it? Or do you think that you're past that now and now you're kind of fulfilling your childhood dream?
Ooh. I think I am on the, like, apex on healing. I'd like mm-hmm. to believe I am now. You know, something could happen and completely set me aside. But, you know, I like to think that I'm on the apex of healing. And he's still teeter-tottering. He may say, no, I'm great. But he definitely struggles with it, I believe, a little bit more than I do at this point in time. I feel, though, that when you have a love for something, whether it's horses or I know somebody who plans weddings for a career, and it's their passion, and they turned a passion into a career. And when you get to be around someone that turns a passion into a career, it's infectious when they, and as long as those people can maintain that passion, that drive, that fire, it's infectious for everybody around them.
Oh yeah.
So, even you, right? Like your drive and your on top of this is like top of the line.
I don't know about all that, but like, I see what you're saying. No, watching somebody fulfill, and you know, it takes a healthy person to look at people this way, because let's take out all of the jealous souls. They don't belong in this conversation. But people that are healthy and are happy for other people, like good-minded people, when you see somebody chasing their goals and not giving up, or whatever it is, like you just said, it is. It makes you believe in humanity. It makes you believe in your dreams. And
easy, but controversial topic. You look at Taylor Swift. Yeah, you can hate her or love her. I don't care. She's doing the thing, whether you like her, whether you don't. She's
I'm a Swiftie, man.
I am too.
I'm sorry. The girl is, if you don't like her at this point, seriously, like, even like what you just said, you ain't even gotta like her, but to at least respect what she does and can do. Wow.
You don't have to like her. You just have to acknowledge everything that she's done and is still doing. So but that goes into what you and I talked about the other day. When you're doing it right, your people aren't going to like you. And that's just the short story
well,
of it.
Well, look where Kanye's at. That's all I got to say.
Oh. But you know, that's where we're at. You know, I've said it once, I've said it twice. The internet was the best and worst thing that ever happened to us. Some of these people don't need the internet. It completely wrecked some of my personal views on some things, because it's just like, you never learn when to stop talking, but
yeah.
now you're just doing it behind a keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you 110%. It is the best and worst thing. Like, you know, but we literally can't live without it. I mean,
no,
the businesses need it. The economy needs it. The world needs it to move.
It's how I found Ruckus and Emily. And it's how, you know, I survive and function now at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
But now, okay, so now you just brought up Emily. Now, I love Emily, you know, and that's how I met you, Emily, doing their merch and stuff or whatever. And that's kind of how I met you or whatever. So how long have you been? So did you buy a horse from them and you keep your horse there and all that kind of good jazz and you show with them and everything? Or?
So walked in. She's like, hey, okay, let's have a lesson. They started me out on Magic Man and I started there, and about a month into it, she's like, yeah, we kind of need to move up horse. And she's like, you know, this horse is for sale. And I was like, well, what's he like? I loved him already. He's full of personality. He's the only paint horse in the barn. And he is Emily's old horse. And then previously, Josh rode him as well. So the black and white paint that we call Mo is the horse that I'm currently riding and showing and moving forward with for the 2024 show season.
Oh, okay. Because I saw a video and I thought that was that horse, and I was like, but I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, okay.
Yep, that is Mo. He's staying in the barn at Ruckus, and we're super excited. And Emily's, you know, doing the thing down in Fort Worth this week with Josh, and super excited. Super, super excited for all of the things coming and watching
so
her.
Did you ever think when you were a child that you would end up at, what, how would you say you were? 35?
And now I'll be 36 on Friday. No, you're good. You know, when my husband and I got married, he actually said no horses, because he was, you know, a stall.
He's the one buying treats
growing up. He was a stall picker growing up. So he's like, nope, I've picked all my stalls. No horses. It's done. Not happening. And now we've got, you know, horses at Ruckus. We've got Mo at Ruckus. We've got my pasture pet that he'll be on our land forever. And then, moving on to getting babies now. So it's definitely crazy. And
babies. We're breeding and we're going to do babies now?
We've got one little baby at our barn, at our house, that is about 9 months old.
Oh, congratulations.
And so we'll let Emily, you know, getting ready with her horses. And once that baby's a little bit older, that baby will go to Ruckus too.
Oh. And what did you do? What kind of horse do we got? You just do like a cow horse? Like that's
another cow horse. Yep.
Oh, very cool.
I've got the bite, that's for sure. Now, you know, I'll ride this dream as far as I can, but it's I'm not at competition with anybody but myself, and just wanting to be better than I was yesterday. You know, Emily,
I'm glad you said that.
You know, do I have huge aspirations that, you know, we'll ride this horse and this knackle bit for charity and I'll make, you know, it to Fort Worth? Of course, that's my goal. But remember, this all started with me learning how to fail. So for me, verbally and putting those goals out there in the universe is really hard, because if I don't, that's failure to me. So this is me, like, the first time really verbalizing that, you know, I've got this baby and I want to go to Fort Worth with this baby, and I want to do all of these things. So I guess we write it down and put it on a dream board, because I just put it out there.
She's manifesting.
Man, it's like, I just got like a sudden heat in my face, because the idea of me doing that is so scary, because the self-doubt, right? Because everybody struggles with self-doubt. I struggled with it my entire life. And, you know, when Emily brought this idea up to me and I took it back to my husband and I was like, she's crazy, right? And he's like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, okay, that's the plan. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, but what if I don't? And then I'm a failure again. He was like, that's what we're learning how to do. And I was like, all right. So
if that is kind of a struggle though, because, if you're a driven, ambitious, you know, individual, failing is hard, and it's not necessarily, I think people confuse it sometimes with they assume like it's a competition and you didn't win type fail, where it's actually a standard that very ambitious and driven and very like goal-getting people, they actually just set it for themselves.
And that's why horses have been perfect, right? I have a crappy day. You know, I call my husband and I'm like, all right, I'm walking into the barn. I'm going to have a great ride. Ride may end with me standing in the corner watching Emily on my horse having to, you know, show me everything I'm doing wrong. And then I have to call my husband and say, well, it sucks today. And then I have to go home, think about it all night long, think about it all day the next day at work. And then I have to consciously get in my car, drive to that barn, and do it all over again. Because that's the only way I'm going to get better. And that's the only way I'm going to continue to overcome the struggles from yesterday.
Yeah.
And some days it sucks 2 days in a row. But then it eventually comes together and you're like, man, I'm winning. And you can feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, it just pours over. And I said to Emily one time, you know, you should be proud of yourself for everything that, you know, you're proud of me for. I said, because I couldn't have done any of this without you and Josh and Ruckus and the barn and all of the amazing people. And she was like, yeah, but you're the one who keeps getting back on.
Yeah, she's right. Takes two, that's for sure. You have to be there for her to help you, and she has to be.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
there to help you. So it's kind of a
full circle.
It is, because she's right. You know, you have people that don't look at it in the aspect that you look at it. They don't want to get back on. And that's frustrating for people on the outside looking at them going, okay, you're just going to give up? You're just going to...
Yeah, that is, I think I'm different in the fact of, like, I can fall off, or I haven't fallen off yet, thank goodness, knock on wood, but I posted a video on my Facebook the other day of Emily riding my horse and going, well, I don't look that good riding that horse. That's where I struggle, especially like what you were saying, in a high achieving female, I want to be the best all the time. But then just reminding myself that I'm not going to be the best overnight, and I'm never going to be better than everybody. I just need to be better than I was. And I need to focus on that, which allows me to continue to stay super positive for the others around me at work or at the barn or with my kids, right? And, you know, Emily and Josh talk about communication with your horse and asking and giving the same cues and being confident in your cues. I've taken that and I've applied it to so many different aspects of my life. Not just with horses, but with the way I parent my kids and the way I manage my work and the way that I talk to my husband, right? The idea, you know, the biggest misconception about communication is the idea that it ever occurred. My kids may think that, I may think that my kids understand what I'm asking them, but do they really? So it's given me so much outside looking in of, you know what, let me slow down. Let me drop down on my knee and talk to my kids. Let me give them a hug before they get frustrated or I get frustrated. And, you know, I end up putting them in timeout when I was the one who needed the timeout. And, you know, the horses and the barn and this 1,000-foot overview have given me this ability to say, hey, just slow down. Just slow down.
Yeah, because you can let, you know, sometimes people pour out, sometimes their perceptions of things are not necessarily what it is, and they can pour out other emotions. You know, where somebody's had, like if somebody's in customer service all day, so they have to be nice all day long, and then they get home, and it's like, they get anger bursts, or they get certain things that come out from the day that they couldn't let out during the day, and they'll kind of let it leak out when they talk to the kids or their spouse or when they're doing whatever they're doing. It's hard to regulate that and pull that back in and go, okay, this emotion doesn't have anything to do with this situation. Where is this really coming from?
Oof, yes. I've been told before, this is a non-emotional event, and that will ring true, especially at home, right? I'm very fortunate that I have a drive in between where I work and live and function. So it gives me that decompression time, either to get ready for work or get ready to come home and deal with three kiddos who want four different kinds of mac and cheese. It definitely helps.
I love mac and cheese.
Hey, you can't go wrong with it.
You really can't. I love it. But, like, you know, it's also, I had this conversation. Well, actually, it's what you and I think you and I were talking about it when we were talking about men and handling men and stuff like that. Being able to turn off emotions when you make decisions, especially like in business or anything of that nature, will help you out further in life. Because a lot of people make decisions based off of an underlying emotion that either doesn't exist or it's self-perceived. And even just like with horses, I don't know if Emily told you this or if y'all think this or not, but horses can feel your emotions. So you could get on the same horse on a Monday, pissed off as hell, and have the worst ride in the world. Get that same horse out on a Thursday, and you done had a great day, and you're happy as hell, and you're not going to have the best ride.
I think that's how it always works. Like, you, like, normally when I go in with these super high, like, it's going to be a great day. I'm on the high from work. It was a great day at work. I got a lot of things accomplished. It's going to be just the same way when I walk into that barn and I get on my trusty steed. Nope. Knock you down, cut you at the knees, kill you with 1,000 toothpicks. You're dead. No. It's that every wet. It's that every day. And, you know, I think that you said you were talking about, you know, perception, and it turns into this completely different conversation because you said one thing, but the other person heard something completely different. And, you know, I've caught myself having conversations with others and they'll be like, well, da 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 da. And I'm like, but I didn't say anything about, I didn't say Johnny was an awful person. I said Johnny didn't do his required audit yesterday. That's a fact. Johnny being an awful person has, I don't know where you got that, but I just said Johnny didn't do his job. It's completely different, but it's people's mental space where they're at emotionally, mentally, physically, and they can turn what you say into something completely different. And if you're not careful on the other side of it, you'll feed into it. Or you'll feed into it and you'll engage in that. Or what I have a tendency to do is come back real snarky or passive aggressive and just throw it. I'm not engaging in it, but I'm shutting it down in a manner that's not going to be productive for the next 30 minutes. So I've had to be better in just saying, hey, I didn't say Johnny was an awful person. I think Johnny's a great guy. I'm sure he's a great guy, but he still didn't do his job yesterday. So let's get back to the facts and stop turning this into something that it's not. And then we can move forward and address the actual problem. Why didn't Johnny do his job? Well, you know, the shift before didn't, you know, clean up after themselves, so he was having to take out all the trash. Oh, well, why didn't they get all their work done? And then you just start five-whying it and driving back, and you find out, wait, the person who I was talking to is Johnny's direct supervisor, and they felt very emotionally attacked because, you know, they have a stronger attachment to Johnny. And it goes completely sideways because they became emotionally invested in a conversation that was literally just, hey, Johnny didn't do his audit yesterday. It went 900 different directions. And, you know, it's go back, look at your root cause, look at your actual problem statement, and then start picking away at that instead of turning it into something we're not. And then we're, you know, fighting and mad, and you've got people coming at you sideways, and you're like, whoa, what did I do?
It's the emotional. Mm-hmm. If you take the emotion out of it, I've said this so many times, if you take the emotion out of it, 99.9% of the time, the decisions and the logic will just make, you wouldn't have near as many arguments and falling outs and things like that, because people do come at you or perceive you with an emotion, you know, an emotional state that kind of already exists. You know, it's kind of like trying to talk to somebody that just already hates you. You're not going to get anywhere compared to talking to somebody that likes you, you're probably going to get a little further, you know. So
you are exactly right, but self-awareness is about as common as common sense these days.
I was fixing to say, you've got to be very, you know, I'm a very self-aware person. I wasn't when I was younger. It takes time. You know, it takes experience. But I'm a lot, I'm very self-aware, but you're right. Some people are not. And that's what, that's probably the root cause of it. You know, a lot of people, majority of people are just don't want to look at themselves. And so here comes these emotions that don't exist. And then here comes the inability to communicate.
Oh gosh. Like 99% of, you know, workplace disagreements are literally just misconstrued statements. And I think that everywhere in life, you know, it's just.
Well, it's kind of like the horse.
Uh-huh.
We could totally relate this to the horse because, like, you know, when you get on a horse, and a lot of people get frustrated with the whole, it's not what you're asking them, it's how you're asking them. Because, you know, a horse can't speak. Just like a kid or a toddler, you know, you're working with something that can't speak. So your communication efforts have to be different.
They have to be consistent too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, definitely with the horse. But we with people too, actually.
And that's, I'm sure you use this in, you know, your days as a bartender of morphing yourself into what you needed to be to get a job done. I've done it over and over and over again, especially when you have any insight into who you're dealing with. You know, I've had a boss that he liked to know every single detail.
Yeah.
And then I moved to a boss who literally didn't want to speak to me except for, you know, on our weekly check-in. Or, and he wanted just a 1,000-foot overview. So it was hard for me to move out of that every detail, but I was just upsetting him. Like, I was like, why doesn't he like me? And I think I finally asked him, hey, why don't you like me? And he's like, you talk too much.
You're right. Like, people are so different because, you know, like what you just said, you have one boss, he wants to know every single detail, every little thing, da 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 da. And then you turn around and go to somebody else, and he don't give a shit. He just wants it.
And I said, my initial reaction, of course, this was quite a few years ago, was, you know, my initial reaction was I wanted to cry, but, you know, oh my gosh, there's a life for me to talk too much. I can't change that. But I was like, well, you know, I'm not going to change my boss,
right,
unless I want to go hunt for another job, which I didn't want to do because I really liked him. I learned a lot from him. You know, he was also the boss who taught me, if you're going to mow the grass, mow all of the grass. So he was the one-liner king of, you know, I'll remind you once, I'll remind you twice. The third time, I'm going to remind your replacement. So
I like him already.
he was a great, great guy. I mean, you know, he was also the boss that got me a birthday cake that said, bitch, please, on it, because it was my one-liner. You know, somebody would ask for something at work, and I'd look at them and be like, bitch, please, I'm not doing that. They put it on a birthday cake for me. But, you know, it was just this light and dark difference of, you know, I had this really personal boss. He wanted to know everything. And then I had this boss who was just kind of a jerk. And, you know, he and I are still friends to this day. And he'll giggle when he finds out that I talked about this. He'll think it's absolutely great. But, you know.
But you've got to be able, adaptability, I think, is probably the main, I mean, you have to be able to adapt to different people and different things, probably, which is relatable when riding horses. You know, you got to be able to adapt and change quickly and things. And you, in order to do that, you have to separate yourself from the emotions and go, oh, okay, well, this is just how this person likes it. It's not that big of a deal. Next person. Oh, okay, this is how this person likes it. Not that big of a deal. Next person. You know, or you can get caught up into, you know, like you said, you know, you didn't know why he didn't like you or whatever, and it upset you and stuff. If you get caught up into all of that emotional part of it, you're just wasting time because he is the way he is. So might as well just work around it.
Exactly. You know, you got to look at the horse, you got to look at yourself, and you got to be willing to admit, you know, Taylor Swift, hi, it's me. The horse isn't the problem. I'm the problem.
Hi, it's me.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm not giving clear communication to my horse, and guess what? I'm running him off into the fence, and you know he's wanting to fling me across the field, but it's not the horse, because we were fine yesterday. What's mm-hmm. different today?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no, I like that. I love people like that that can sit there and go, because you get further in life when you just go, you know what, it's my fault. Let's roll on. Or because you have other people that'll sit there and argue with you. You know what I mean? Like, they'll sit. You could, you pick up what I'm throwing, and it's just that I'm at that same point in my life too. Like, you know what? It's me. No problem. Have a good day.
Because at the end of the day, I can promise you that even if I take the blame for everything that's wrong, I'm going to get home. I'm going to make myself a bowl across the plate, and I'm still going to go to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Promise you. And I'm going to sleep like a baby, because I put it in a box. It's done. We're moving on. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm going to set that box on fire, and it's ashes, and we're moving on. I have a 2-second rebound rate. Me and you can be having it out and screaming and fighting and throwing chairs if need be. And then I'm going to say, all right, we good? We're going to go back to work now. And I think it's the same way with the horse. All right, Kirsten, you couldn't sit your horse. Get off. Let, you know, your trainer show you how it's done, and then get back up there and do the shit. Stop. Look, at the end of the day, don't be a bitch baby and just do it. It's easier just to admit it, move on, don't sulk in it, because that's not going to do anything but screw you up for the next day.
Right.
Just ride your horse.
Yeah.
Do your job. Go to work. Be a good person. But that's really hard. A lot of people really struggle with the be a good person thing anymore.
Yeah, I think, I mean, God, like, oh, Lord, that's a whole nother conversation, because it's such a weird, you know what, I had a light bulb moment, because I've very much been that person, like, you know, what is wrong with people? What's wrong with the world? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I had a light bulb moment when this dude came over here one day, and I had to hire somebody to come and do something or whatever, and he made it in perfect sense. You know, he was like, I don't know you. And I was like, well, I don't know you. You know, I'm learning to kind of separate myself from that and go, okay, this person doesn't know you, Bree. So that makes a big difference. You know what I mean?
What is that saying? I can't remember it now, but I don't know you. I don't know you, right? Like, I don't know what you're capable of. But you know what I say when I go to get my hair done? They're always like, well, what do you want to do? Well, I'm like, well, I mean, I want my hair to look good. And they're like, well, what do you want? And I'm like, I want you who have gone to school, who does this for their entire career, to say, this is what I think you know, I would do if I were you, because I make car parts. I can barely put a matching outfit together on a good day. You know,
I would look at you and go, this is your head. You're going to need to like it.
And, you know, if you tell me, oh, I want to do, you know, platinum blonde, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm not ready to, you know, burn my hair up. What's your second idea?
Oh, you're one of those people?
I am. Like, I'm one of those, here, let me just go sit in the chair. And I'm also one of those people that if I don't like it, we can just do brown right on top of it, because it's just hair to me. It will grow back, or, you know, we'll cut it and we'll do extensions. I've gotten to a point in my life where if I don't like something, I'm going to do something different or keep it moving, because if I get hung up on the small stuff, I'll never get to do all the really cool big stuff.
Yeah. So you just don't want to make the decision. You're not one of the, because I've had people that come at me and they're like, okay, well, what do you think about this? And I'll tell them, and they'll go, no. And I'll go, okay, well, what do you think about this? And they'll go, no. And I'll be like, four or five ideas later, finally, I'm like, I'm not telling you any more ideas. You need to figure out what you want. Because, like, you know.
Look, for me, I'm the person that I either know exactly what I want, or I am the person that will, like, when we were building our barn at our house, my husband was like, well, what about this, and this? And I'm like, I'm going to need a can of spray paint, and I'm going to need to draw it on the ground and see it and feel it and walk it, and then I can make a decision. But, like, when it comes to hair or something along those lines, I'm a really easy person.
You don't really
care
that much about it.
Yeah, I just don't want my, like, patch of skunk gray coming through. As long as we don't have that, like, I'm good. You know, like, I'm not an artsy, crafty, you know, I can't put colors together. Like, some of the stuff you turn out, I look at and I'm like, I'm so jealous that she can do that, because it looks freaking awesome, and I would never do that. You know, I couldn't do that. So I'm very comfortable in saying, you know, I don't know how to be cool like that. I'm not the person that is going to.
But you are,
you know,
cool.
I'm cool in my own right. Like, I'm that person that when something goes down, I'm the everything friend. If you need, you know, to hit up a burger joint at 2 a.m. and you call me, I'm going to be like, all right, let me throw some water on my face and I'll be there. I'm the person, you know, I'm the person that you can call and be like, hey, my car won't start, and I can run you through everything to check before, you know, we call AAA. I can do a lot of those things, but
I love
you
AAA,
know,
by the way.
I've never really been able to apply how cool I am out into this world outside of work until I made it to the barn. Like, I'll talk about stuff at, you know, the barn about,
ah,
you know,
that was also your saving grace, huh?
Yeah. So, like, you know, Emily was, you know, at the barn while Dirk was at the maturity, and anything that broke, and I was like, well, let's check this relay or this and this and this. And she's like, how do you know all of these things? And I'm like, well, I've spent the last 15 years in a factory running this kind of stuff, and, you know, million-dollar projects aren't unknown to me. So it's been really fun to find a group of people that have zero idea or alleyway into my career, but I can still take what I've done in my career and take it to the barn, and they're like, wow. And, like, it was just, it's been
useful.
Yes, I'm useful, not just at work. Like, I'm useful and I don't even get paid for it. And I'm getting paid abundantly over just in the mental capacity. And it's great.
The feeling of being needed and wanted. And I pick it up what you're saying, because I think that everybody on this earth is here for their own thing that's special to them. Like, okay, the stuff that you know about cars and what's your career and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what makes you. That's what makes you special. You know what I mean? And everybody's role, everybody's thing that they provide to the world is needed. Cause, you know, I used to hang around, a group of girls. I don't hang around them anymore, but they made me feel like I was less than them because of what I did and what I used to do and stuff like that, and that they were better. And I've always thought, you know, well, you need every person of every level so that the world will go around. You know, like, you need the CEO just like you need the janitor. You need the car parts lady just like you need the horse lady. Like, everybody is on earth needed. Emily can't do that, so guess what? But you can't do what Emily does. So there you go. It's the perfect team.
You tag team in it. It is, you know, divine fate if you have it. You know, it's crazy. And you get put in these situations and spots in life where you can make a right hand turn or a left hand turn, and it could completely be completely different. But I feel like it takes all different kinds to make everything work. And you see it in work, you see it at, you know, I see it with my three Hellcats running around. They're three completely different individuals who have all been raised under this roof. And then my stepson at university now, they're just all different. None of them are exactly Chris and none of them are exactly me. But that's what makes everyone unique. And we all get put in these predicaments or situations in life that lead us down roads, and you come to a destination eventually, and then you set a new destination. All kinds, it takes all kinds of people, and you get put in these situations, and then you make it to a destination off of this path. The barn for me is my path right now. And I'm waiting to see what my next destination is going to be and where I'm going to fit into the next path.
I'm with you now. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're
yeah.
right. Because everything kind of, I think, you know, the world kind of works in a way that, sometimes I think things are coincidental, and then sometimes I'm not, don't think that they are. That, you know, sometimes you are where you are supposed to be at that moment with the people that you're with doing what you're doing, you know, that, like you said, will prepare you for your next place that you're going to go.
Exactly. You got what I was throwing down.
I'm picking up what you're throwing now. I got you. Well, I think that it's super awesome that, I have met you and through another super awesome lady, Emily.
I have said for many a year, talented people, I'm so jealous of the way you put your colors together and the way you put your fonts together. It's the oatmeal and brown sweatshirts. I would have never done that. They're beautiful. You do a great job.
Oh, stop it. Well, I think that it's cool that you are who you are, and I got your picture with the chocolate on the oatmeal, which is dope, and you make it look even doper. So, you know,
thank you.
You know, if I didn't have anybody to buy it to wear it, then it would be pointless, you know?
I know that we hear a lot of the girls need girls who lift each other up, and I think that some people take it jokingly, but I truly try to mean it and be truly sincere when I say it, and I hope you know that.
Well, I have found, I know, I do believe you, and the reason why I do is because, you know,
girls are worse to girls than guys are to girls. You cannot convince me any different. And there are very few girls that are that kind of thing, like what you're saying, you know, to be able to just be a good girl for another girl. It's so hard to find women like that because it's so catty out there. And, I mean, trust me, at the strip club, you think catty is a whole nother different ball game. Like, they are some cutthroat women. They are cutthroat. And I had to be that kind of girl, but it makes you look at females a little differently. I try to be a very real person. And when I say that there are very few women out there like that, that's the truth. There are very few out there that are like that. And a lot.
I think that's where we click, because I've had to be that person as well. And I, like, looking back on it now, I love that I was that person back then, because I was the person that people were afraid of, but they wanted to be my friend, but they wanted to be my friend for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I'm so in love with this era of my life that I don't want to be that person. And I want to surround myself with people like me who have this passion and they've made a whole career out of it. You know, people, not even women, that just want to surround themselves with good people. And I think that, you know, I've come full circle from who I was at the very beginning of my career, that catty, nasty individual, to I'm really, really enjoying the, I want to see, you know, B-Mar and Brianna do everything they absolutely want to do. I want to see Emily and Josh and see that business grow. And I want to see all the people at the barn grow and be as happy as they possibly can be. And it's just fun to be around those kinds of people. And I'm so glad that
well,
I found that in you.
Do you think that you had to go through a dark period to kind of get to a light period? I don't know. I'm asking you, do you think that's what made you? Yeah.
100%. 100%. 100%. I would not be where I am right now had I not endured the dark. Without dark, there is no light.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.